I'd like to start by offering my love at the lotus feet of the love of my life, Bhagwan Sri Sathya Sai Baba, respected elders, sisters and brothers, Sai Ram to all of you. With regards to this afternoon session, I thought I'll just focus on the most important people in the Sai mission right now. As we all know, this is good, right, for recording? As we all know, the work of the avatar in the current age is so enormous that even for God, it requires three different incarnations to complete the mission. So the Kalki avatar's mission is spread over a span of 250 odd years in three different incarnations to accomplish what he has come to do. And the most important thing in this is there are two issues involved. One is succession and the other is continuity. And that's where all of you come in. I think each of you is a highly blessed and really chosen soul. You are here in this mission not by accident or coincidence. It's because for many lifetimes you have done something extremely right. You have aspired, you have striven spiritually to be born to the parents you're born to enjoy this life of privilege where there is no deprivation of any kind of food or shelter or clothing or physical necessities, and to be living in the awareness of His presence on earth. Your exposure to the Sathya Sai education program is an answer from God to your prayers of, again, many, many lifetimes. And you're chosen specifically for this moment because today, the avatar's mission is so big and he's so enormous, and he's with us on this earth for only so very many years more to go. And in light of this, what he needs is heir apparents. This is the throne of God. It's not the throne of some royal kingdom or a royal family. The kingdom of God is looking for succession, it's looking for heirs apparent, and it is so huge that it will take thousands and thousands of you to ensure that when people look at you and see you practice all that Bhagwan Sri Sathya Sai Baba stands for, they will get a sense of who he is by interacting with you. I want you to do some mental math here. Swami has given us an indication that in this current incarnation, there is only so much time that he's with us. By 2020, do the math, how old will you be and how old will I be? You are the ones who will have perfectly fit senses, an alert mind, a good physical body, and an ability to earn and be financially secure. I will be headed towards retirement. It is young adults such as yourselves who will be in the prime of their life to offer to God what he needs to take this mission into its final stage. Everything is in a state of critical readiness. All it takes is the final takeoff to bring that golden age. And the propellers are going to be each one of you. You've been chosen and prepared for this role for so long. Never ever underestimate the blessing that we have received, all of you have received as young adults. Swami says most people want to serve God after they have done everything they want to do with their life. You know, I've often heard people say, oh yeah, I'm associated with the Sathya Sai School in Toronto, and a lot of people say, I'm retiring next year. Tell me any work you want, I will come and do it. Of course, I don't want to do anything that requires work with sitting down because my knees are not good. And in such and such month, I'm having my cataract done, and subsequently, I'm going on a world tour to New Zealand, Australia to meet my relatives and spending 6 months with Baba. But barring these few odd little things, I'm 24/7 available. That really makes them very handy and useful. Of course, you can imagine in a school where you're constantly dealing with children. Okay, I mean, for me, even to listen to the long story on phone is such a misuse of my time because I have much better things to do, but you have to be patient and you have to listen. Swami says most people want to serve God after what they think is they've done whatever they want to do with their life. They made their money, they've got the retirement funds, their children have got their green cards, and they've got married to the girls and boys of their choice, and they've got good set of grandchildren of the gender they prefer if they are Indian people, all boys, of course. And they've got whatever they are seeking, and now we have done everything. Okay, tell us, Swami, how may we help you? He said, this actually is similar to saying you prepared this beautiful meal, a 7-course feast, and then you take this entire course of this feast and you throw it to the dogs to eat. And whatever the leftovers, you gather those up and offer it to the gods. So you offer the best to the dogs and you take the leftovers and you give it to God and say, here, God, here I am, this is for you. That's exactly what most human beings want to do. When their senses are alert, their mind is fit, their body is strong, they have the determination and the ability, all they want is to pursue material happiness and sensual pleasures and go after the senses and do what our senses tell us to do. And when we are done with all that and the knee requires replacement, the cataract and the hearing aid and the pacemaker, I'm all done now, Swami, I'm at your disposal, tell me. I will live in the ashram and do whatever you tell me to do. Never mind if it is like really shouting at people while handing out coupons in the canteen or something, but that's my seva to you and I'm so ready to do it now. It's only young adults who are blessed to offer the best of their talents, at the prime and peak of your lives to the Lord of the universe and to sanctify their life. Swami's mission between the Shirdi Sai and the Satya Sai avatar had an 8-year lag. And from what Swami has indicated, nobody knows. I'm not privy to any inside information based on the literature that is generally prevalent. It does appear like there will be a shorter lag between the Satya Sai avatar and the Prema Sai. But the message of the avatar is so potent and so organic. It's so universal in appeal that if it has to survive, it needs continuity. Krishna's message is as relevant to our lives today. If you read the Bhagavad Gita, it will speak to you and to your immediate situation today, now, 5,000 years after Krishna came and went away. Swami's message requires that continuity. And to lend that continuity to it, Swami is looking for leaders. And those leaders have to have certain qualities. And Swami says the best quality of a leader is an attitude of servitude. We have to be servants of God. We have to have humility and unflinching obedience to his word. Sometimes if Swami indicates we should do something, we are like, but that doesn't make sense. Maybe we can do it better this way. Nothing that Swami ever speaks is without profound meaning. He is the master of time. In course of time, even things that Swami may tell us to do, which may appear like not the best thing to do at that very moment, course of time, they unravel that was the best decision. And every time we deviate and trespass and ignore what Swami tells us, we are making a huge blunder. A true leader, Sai leader, would be a servant with a very humble attitude. But then, I have been a youth coordinator for many years and I've worked with several batches of Sai youth or young adults, as you call them in the US. I've done that work with Canadian youth, and many of them are my very good lifelong friends now. And I realized that a lot of Sai youth come across a number of challenges when they deal with us, the adults, such as myself and the organization. And one thing that they always tell me is they're confronted with this problem of the old mindset, that we come up with new ideas, creative ideas, better ways of doing things, more efficient ways of doing things. And auntie, we always get stonewalled and yeah, we know that, but we do it like this and this works and this is how it's done in Prashanti and this is what we are going to do. So sometimes adults such as myself are not very conducive or open-minded to ideas that come from young adults. And I always tell them the same thing. I say, you're in this path. This is your, if you have to grow, Swami has to give you tests. And this is a special test Swami has marked for you. And I call it the masking game. You have to peel the mask. Every time you come across an adult who is highly disagreeable in their manner or getting upset by what you're saying and not open to your suggestions and your ideas, remember to use that extra sense in your head and peel the mask. Who is that person? If you peel the mask and look past who you see in front of you right now, each of us is Swami. So it's Swami himself who's playing the role of the difficult person. You've got to peel that mask of the difficult person and look at the Swami inside them. And when you connect to that person as the God within them, you will find that your attitude towards them will be of greater empathy, more understanding, more tolerance, more acceptance, more humility, and On the flip side, the other person's reaction towards you will also be much more calmer, because Swami says everything in the world is a game of the three R's, reflection, resound, and reaction. So if I'm really going to sit here and yell at you, there's a good chance that you will speak back to me in a voice that is equally strong. And if I speak to you with a lot of love and calm, when you respond, the same will come from you. So every time we feel discouraged and unappreciated, we have to remind ourselves that this is only part of Swami's game of peeling the mask, and only when I pass this level, he will let me get further. The other thing Swami always talks about is, the youth always talk about to me is, you know, the dynamic of interpersonal relations when we work in a big group. Initially, when we join or when we get the role of the youth coordinator, everybody has so many good ideas and we want to take over the world and change everything and bring Swami's message, so much of enthusiasm. And then somebody in the group says, yeah, that's a good idea, but do the guidelines allow it? Let me check with this one. Or would Swami like it? But there is this. So there'll always be different visions and there'll always be some conflict of ideas and different ways of doing things. And everybody will wonder, you know, he opposed me in the meeting and I had such a good idea. And then we talk to each other over email or behind each other's backs or on our cell phones. And see, in the meeting, he spoiled everything. We could have gone ahead and such person spoke and said such and such thing. I think it's all about, the whole thing is a test. Swami is just testing your ability to give up your personal vision to work for something greater. Sometimes, even if your idea you genuinely believe is the best and is going to take everything to the next level, for the sake of unity, sometimes it's best to just let go. And in course of time, Swami will give us the chance to carry out our original idea again. Circumstances will come together. But it is best to avoid the conflict and work together as a team. Now, this whole dynamic of working in a group, the test here is to check your ability to work as a team. The first one is to check whether you can look past the mask on the person's face at the Swami inside him. And the second one is to test your ability to work as a team. And for that, I really want to show you a little film. And if you can just come over this side, we can watch a film about a little video, and then we'll move on after that. How many of you have seen this before? Good.
He said, life is a game. Learn to play it wisely and well.
That's a game that's very popular in India. It's cricket. I don't know if North American kids play that much.
Live it to your fullest before the referee above rings the bell. So long as the team wins, what matters who nets the ball? So with this world, think not of yourself, but the good of all. The player who refuses to pass the ball commits a foul. The team suffers. The person who refuses to give commits a foul. His soul suffers. So learn to sing in tune with the universal soul. In the game of life, play as a team for a common goal, a common dream. Let the world be your playing field. Let every human being your teammate. With love, let these bonds be sealed, and together strive to determine fate. Taught me everything. Before him I humbly approach. and seek His divine blessing. My guru took me into his fold 15 years ago. I was a boy of 4 then. I didn't know that my family was poor. That in this world there are things called school fees. 15 years later, I still don't know that there is such a thing called a school fee or a college fee or an exam fee. I never knew my father was poor till this day. When I see his heart swell with pride, I still don't know it. To my guru, who has sheltered me from every storm, to my master, who taught me both theory and practicals in this lab called life, who always lived the lecture, ever walked the talk, whose spirit is so strong it can move mountains, whose heart is so soft it can melt with a smile. To my divine master, I offer my deepest salutations. To him I humbly bow, seeking out his blessings. The book of his life is full of great chapters. Every chapter rings with a vision, a mission, a blessing. Where shall I begin? I flip the pages at random. A few will suffice to show his grace and his divine life. There is a page called Water, which slakes the parched throats of millions of people in deep, deserted roads. Every day, water, as pure can be, flows free to their doorstep, a miracle all can see. My brothers and sisters bathe in it, drink it, yet the taps never run dry. The world wanted to know why. Behind this miracle, what mountains were moved? By how many men? How much money? How much toil? What technology? What will? And finally, how did you make this miracle happen, Swami? He said, love made it happen. But they asked, what about the money? Where's that to be found? He said, love is the currency of the divine. It makes the universe go around. I flip the book through. I find in each page a thought for you. I find hospitals. I find temples of healing where he cured millions who were ailing. When the patients worried about the fees, he smiled. I have been well paid in love, he replied, and added, so should you be. For look how I take the R from repay, add it to fee, and make it free. So remember to help your fellow man, for that's how you repay me. Who are you, Swami? Guru visible is wrapped in enigma invisible. Deep, unfathomable, imperceptible. Who are you, Swami? The mystery is such that it can be told, yet will grow deeper as it unfolds. Guru can be known, but the knowledge of the knower will stretch into the unknown and the unknowable. till it snaps the bounds of the finite and pulses into the infinite. Beyond words, beyond thought, beyond the limits of comprehension. It suffices to know him as love personified, for I see his boundless love. I feel his endless compassion. I touch his limitless grace. Who are you, Swami? I playfully ask. Who wants to know? Guru answers, equally playful. I, Swami, I respond. Then seek out who you are, and by and by, when that answer you can see, you will know you are me. I am a team player in the game called life. The world is my playing field. Every human being is my teammate. Poverty, hatred, and greed are my rivals. God is the referee. Guru is my coach. He has taught me to play the game and play it well. To him, I offer my deepest salutations. To him, I humbly bow, seeking out his divine blessings.
Thanks. So how was the film? If Swami can be such a leader, and if he has created this organization, which is this enormous team with little teams within, and if you genuinely believe what he says is the truth, he's constantly told us each of us is God. If he can achieve this, then it's time we all took a moment to assess what have we achieved. If Swami can move mountains and bring water to places that no government has ever managed to drill a bore well into, to bring highly specialized medical care to rural India, where neither the World Health Organization, nor any NGOs, nor any World Foundation, never mind the government of India, has not even been able to provide primary health care. If he can achieve that, and he's constantly telling us we can achieve that, and you, the young adults who are all growing up in this affluence, this sea of opportunities, your parents are trying to give you every single possible opportunity to grow mentally, spiritually, physically, emotionally, have the best of every privilege. What are you doing to move the mountains? In this part of the world, maybe the needs are different. Maybe not too many people need drinking water because there's enough water to go around and it's well filtered. But there's many, many other needs, and how are we fulfilling that? Are we really living up to our abilities as God? You know what it is like? It's like you're fast asleep and you're having this weird, confusing dream in your sleep, and you're running behind a bus and somebody's chasing you, and then in between your friend comes in. It's a haywire dream. It makes no sense. But towards the end, you feel you're being chased by some, maybe a monster, and your heart is racing and you're all nervous, and all of a sudden you wake up and your heart is still racing and your hands are wet from perspiration, and you wonder, what was all that about? And you realize, actually, I'm sleeping in my own room in the comfort of my beautiful, you know, bed. This is my pillow and these are my walls, and none of that was real. Oh my God, it just gave me such a fright. And one fine day, you don't want that to happen to you in life, that we all wake up and realize everything we were pursuing with such zeal, with giving it everything we had, was nothing but a confusing dream. And the reality that we have woken up to is so late, because by then you are old like me and you don't have what you have right now as young adults in you. The drive, the passion, the idealism, the ability, the resources at your disposal, whether it's your own physical, mental resources or everything else. Regardless of what you're doing, whether you're students or you're pursuing a certain degree or you're just joining the workforce, as long as we give ourselves to Swami, everything else in our lives will fall into place. A lot of young adults feel they really love the idealism of the Satya Sai movement, but because they have so much of responsibility, they have to see themselves through college, or they have to pay off their college loans, and they have their jobs to take care of. you know, auntie, where's the time to do this full time? They start on a grand scale during their summer holidays, or, you know, when they have some free time, and come school or as soon as your jobs begin, it's all lost on you. Swami says, if you commit, if we take one step towards him, he has always assured us that he'll take 1,000 towards us. And the example he gives is of the man who climbs a coconut tree to pluck a real coconut. When on a, during the midday sun, when this man climbs a tall coconut tree and he grabs the real coconut and he plucks it, there is also the shadow of this man. And on the shadow, there is a shadow coconut tree. The shadow man is also climbing the shadow coconut tree, and the shadow man is also plucking the shadow of this coconut. He says, if you live your life for God, that is really living, then your worldly life, which is actually only a shadow of your true self, will also rise. So when you rise spiritually, like the true man who's climbing the real coconut tree to grab the real coconut, which is God's grace, everything else, when it comes to your studies and your career and your personal life, your relationships, your marriage, everything else will fall into place, because the real you will rise and grow, and the world, the universe will synchronize and conspire and help to make you grow in every other field. What is it that prevents us from taking that leap of faith? Something is missing. We all are good intentioned and we all love Swami dearly and we want to change the world, but somewhere along the road, you know, your parents have to remind you, did you go to your youth meeting? Don't you have to go? And have you done this project? Yeah. And then your youth coordinator has to remind you, whether it's the blanket drive, so much of pushing and motivation. Why is it coming from outside? Why is it not coming from inside us? All those emails I sent as a youth coordinator, I remember. All the people I had to call and dodge, and auntie, yes, I was planning to come, but last minute, you know, I have a friend and she needs help with her essay, and I thought, you know, Swami says help ever hurt never, so I'd rather help her, and you know, I can't really make it and my essay is due. But if you were serious about it, you would have prioritized and done your essay on time to make time for Swami. And when you make time for Swami and give him anything, even this much of your pure love, he will just make sure everything else will fall into place, and he will help you in so many different ways. But we've got to take that leap of faith and resign and accept that, yes, when we live for him, we work for him, our life, nothing can actually, he will just see us through every difficult situation. Unless you do that, we're never going to evolve. You're all on this path for a reason. We don't want to be in kindergarten for the rest of our lives. When you're in kindergarten, you want to go to grade school, and then you want to graduate, junior high, high school, go to university and all that. And everybody's looking for growth. I think in our spiritual quest too, we have to grow. And how long? I find this very amusing, because when a few years ago, when I was a youth coordinator, actually the definition of a young adult is so generous. I was myself a young adult, thank God, I'm past that. But for how long are we planning to stay as youth youth? I think if we actually grow, the youth part will drop off, because aging is a natural process. Now, we live in a culture where everybody's trying to fight aging and eating and applying and popping in everything that will keep us youthful forever. However, you cannot go against nature forever. So once we run out of these youthful years, if you don't let the Sai grow in you, nothing will remain of your identity. But if you actually let the God in you grow, you'll drop the youth from the Sai youth, but the Sai in you will live forever. And that's what Swami is seeking from each one of you, that when people behold you, they will get the same feeling and the joy they get when they see Swami. When they interact with you as colleagues, as friends, as co-workers, as team players, they get the same joy of having worked with Swami. For that day to make it happen, the preparation has to begin right now. And for that preparation, there are two things I really want to talk about. One is, it's absolutely mandatory for you and for I, and for everybody who associates their name with Swami, to read Sai literature very, very regularly. We have time to watch TV. We have time to waste surfing on the internet. We have time to write constantly to our friends, chat with them, G-Talk, Skype, MSN. But we don't find time to read Sai literature. And nothing is more the only way to understand Swami's message is to read directly his own divine discourses. You can read a story somebody else writes. I can tell you 250 of my own personal experiences, and they're like, wow. And there's a huge wow factor because we are such a wow and cool and awesome society. But where the subs, how long will that last you? How long will the wow factor inspire you to stay on the steady path and resist temptation and, you know, actually live the life Swami wants you to? For that moment, yeah. Oh, it was nice. It was so inspiring. You know, Auntie Karuna told us these experiences and how lucky are they. That's it. Over. The whole purpose is to glorify the one source from where this wisdom has come. And the only way you can stay inspired and stay on path is by constantly reading Sai literature. Now, I know there are many pressures on your time and you're all very busy. And I have some suggestions for you. Just remember two websites, because you're all on the internet all the time. Be very careful what you read on the internet about Swami and from where. There's a lot of, apart from the negative rubbish, which I'm sure you're wise enough not to bother with, apart from that, there's a lot of well-intentioned but tabloid sensationalism kind of Sai journalism on the internet. Stick to the official websites. They are extremely well thought out, true to the original message. Our international website, satyasai.org, is just SATHYASAI.org. It doesn't have the prefix Sri on in front of it. It gives you every possible hyperlink to all other authentic and official websites. My other personal favorite that I always recommend to people, especially those who are not familiar with Swami's message, is radiosai.org. radiosai.org. From there are some amazing links. The best way to introduce anybody to Swami's message is introduce them to his teachings. Tell them there is a 24/7 discourse stream on Radio Sai. Listen to it. When you listen to the voice of the avatar, you're tuned to the Vedas. Even subconsciously, a certain level of evolution will happen. If you're musically inclined, listen to the 24/7 bhajan stream. You can play it all the time at work while studying in the background. And then there is the regular Ameri stream or Asia stream, where you have a lot of interviews and different presentations and conversations. They're all extremely inspiring. But the reason our own website, satyasai.org, which is the international website, and it connects you to the Indian website and to Radio Sai, why it's important to look up the right sources. We want to understand Swami's message in its correct, original, pristine form, which is totally universal. It is not in any way associated with any one faith or culture. Swami has repeatedly said that he has not come here to start a new religion or to convert people to any other religion. Nobody who is not born in the Hindu faith has to convert to Hinduism because they're joining the Sai movement. Swami says we should all practice the religion either of our choice or our birth that inspires us to practice more truth, more love, more right conduct, more non-violence and peace. Not that everybody else has to now start dressing a certain way and singing songs a certain way in a language that I personally might like. No, we cannot superimpose our belief system on Swami's original message. So please, given the fact that you're all so busy and you're not going to be able to, you know, okay, I finished Satyam Shivam Sundaram Volume 1, let me now go to the library and borrow Volume 2. I don't foresee that happening a whole lot of time. Why don't you read up Sai literature on, for example, Heart to Heart? Or on the official website, there is a whole set where you can read the discourses, satyasai.org. Read Swami's discourses. And I just have a question for all of you. How many of you subscribe to the Sai Inspires Daily Message from Radio Sai? Gentlemen, bad score. One.
I do, but I don't read
them. That is so reassuring. Okay, wonderful. So, you know, women are always leading, and as is very obvious with the youth here, more proactive. There's just a short message from Swami, and it's so uncanny. I'm sure you'll agree that every day when you open it in the morning, it looks like it's speaking to your situation, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I see a lot of people nodding here. whatever is going on in my head, when I open it and I wake up and I read that, I'm like, oh my God, how did they know sitting in there that I was so messed up in my head? This is exactly what I needed to read. And in the course of the day, as you're going through your business, if every now and then you check your email and just look at it one more time, it keeps you so rooted and centered. And you know what's the best part? Every message, every single day, comes with a small little hyperlink to one quick story in Heart to Heart. And later, when you're done your work, and if you have a few free moments, you can just, you don't have to go searching, surfing, just click on your message and the hyperlink, and it takes you to that particular story. And over the course of a month, you can end up reading an entire issue full of such inspiring, original, wonderful work that Swami is doing around the world. But to do that, you have to motivate yourself to do that little extra. You know, it's important, Swami says, for every leader to have some qualities. First, whatever you expect of others, whatever you want other people to be that yourself. First be, then do, and then talk. The easiest thing to do is what I'm doing, grab a microphone and start yapping and telling people what to do. But the most hardest part is to actually practice it every day and let your life become his message. And to do that, you've got to put in some effort. Swami says the best way you can inspire others is rule number one, be a good example. Rule number two, be a good sample of my teachings. And the third rule, repeat rule number one and two over and over again. Be a good example, be a good sample, and repeat those two. So instead of expecting anything from anyone else, there has to be some degree of burning desire to make him happy and connect with him. Your parents can push you to your Balvika's classes. Your mom and dads can drive you here and there and remind you and, you know, motivate you and bribe you to go to youth group activities or whatever. But after a while, you've got to take charge of your own spiritual destiny yourselves and do what requires to be done. Because time here is very, very important. And in order to really have a team like what we were talking about in the video, everybody has to realize whatever little role they perform in their SAI activities is extremely important. It's not important for everybody is not going to be a leader. Everybody is not going to bear a title. And believe me, it's very hard to carry out those duties. So don't worry about the titles and the roles. But just take an example of a simple machine. In a simple machine, every nut, every bolt, every little part has to play a part, has to do its thing properly. If one bolt comes off, the entire machine falls off. So the youth wing is the critical engine that Swami is preparing for the future. And this critical engine requires every little part to be really well oiled and in sync with each other. And I'm sure you have your private moments when you make fun of all the adults, which is perfectly okay with me, because my youth kids always made fun of all of us and said, you know, auntie, it's so funny in the center. We know this uncle doesn't get along with that uncle and that auntie doesn't talk to this auntie. And I'm like, yeah, you're so right. I'm so glad you're so observant. But what about all of you? Duh. How are you planning to overcome that? What are you going to do to make sure that all of you are going to work like a solid team and not have any interpersonal thing, because all are connected to something larger than themselves? You have to always remember, when you're a SAI youth, you're just an instrument of something so enormous, so big, that you've got to be extremely conscious of this role that Swami has given you. You have to be extraordinary. You have to do things differently. But because each of you is that cell that makes this big organism called the SAI Youth Group, and SAI Youth are a vital organ of the SAI organization. So every cell has to be very, very healthy. Never underestimate the power of the cell. Every cell is important, because all that the SAI movement has achieved is because of one cell, the original cell from which the whole DNA came out, Swami himself. If one person could achieve what he has achieved, so many of us are really sitting in our very comfortable homes and making times and watching our busy schedules and just fitting in a little bit of Sai Baba business into our daily schedules, but really not living for Swami the way we could. And for that, we've got to increase the heat a little bit and work a bit harder. The team will, if you put in that extra 1 degree of effort, which is my next video coming up, that is when, if you, in this team, if you add Swami as the leader, you add the psi factor, the S factor, before the team, it becomes really steam. And that's what I want to show you right now. What I did not tell you before showing you this film is that there will be a pop quiz following this, because I've been doing all the talking and now it's your turn to talk, and I want to know, what did you get out of this? I want any of the SIU to raise their hand before I start picking people. Everybody's so shy. Okay, we'll start with Vinny here. He's my first victim. Go ahead, Vinny.
Well, I learned that, like, there's a little bit more effort can make a big difference in life.
And do you foresee any particular area in your life where a little bit of extra effort might help?
There are many areas which it can help, but maybe like school, medicine, studies, at the moment, that's, it can help.
I see. Thank you. And yourself, the person next to you? Yeah. Love all, serve all person.
same message, basically, putting more effort in. And it can help me in my life by studies, obviously.
Mm-hmm. What sports do you play?
Basketball.
Wow, okay. And yourself, what I want to know from you, how do you see this translating into your activities as a Psi youth?
There's a very thin difference between being good and bad, being successful or not successful. And that very thin difference is that extra effort we put towards, there's a spiritual journey that we do, and then that little effort is, towards mommy. Is what product it makes difference. I mean, it could be success, or it could be anything that we go after. It could be a professional life, or it could be a spiritual journey. But end of the day, the little difference that we, additional effort that we put in is what matters.
All the difference, Uncle.
I'm young old.
Youth is a state of mind, Uncle. I think you're very youthful minded. Go ahead.
Swami says, and then that keeps me going, maybe if whatever I'm doing, maybe that is going to be the last straw.
Yeah, absolutely true, very true. I can very much relate to that. Yourself.
I mean, before trying to live his message, you should try to completely make an effort to know that message. And like you said, reading his own divine discourses, his literature is the best way to do it. Yeah,
thank you. You like to share?
Yeah. A little more effort means it is a spiritual path, I think. Whatever we do, 211 degree, is our effort in the worldly this thing, and one more degree with the divine fulfillment, divine grace, let us try for that one and add some spices to the life that is divine. So we have to do our job and leave the rest to Swami and he will take care of that one. That is 1 degree is to depend upon the God.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think.
I never thought of it that way. Very interesting. Thank you. How about you?
Once I jotted down, the video was like focus and perseverance being a series of short races.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks. Yourself?
I just thought life is so beautiful. And somehow we seem to put so many boundaries around it, and it's just enormous opportunities, enormous things that we can do. And often we forget that.
Yeah.
We just put so many boundaries around it.
That's all okay, Mary?
actually, a lot of times I think that as long as things are going good, you feel that, oh, you are doing good, and Swami is helping, and you are doing good. But when you see some problem, then you go down, and that is when I think
you need that extra.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yourself?
Just that what I'm doing currently, probably
yeah.
will never be enough just to keep going.
Yeah. Do you foresee yourself making any life-altering decisions or changes?
Probably not. Just doing more of the same.
More of the same?
Yeah.
But then will you be able to achieve the goals or results you've set for yourself in that case?
What I'm doing currently is the right, yeah.
I see. Okay. And yourself?
talk to him loudly sometimes. I get mad with him, and then I cry also, and then no matter what, whatever the things are, somehow it turns to be different way, and I know that because I call for him, I tell him to hold my hand, otherwise I can't cross this ocean of life.
It's for all of us, yeah, exactly.
So, without him, I'm nothing. Without him, I cannot do whatever the service, whatever the thing I'm doing. I don't think that I am doing that. It's His grace that He's letting me do.
Thank you. Okay, the person. Yeah.
I work with very young children.
Are you in the teaching?
Yes, I'm a Montessori teacher.
I see.
And I work with children that are aged right now 2 and 3.
I see.
And I see how they just put in their effort, they do their stuff, and then
mm-hmm.
And the process is so important, and that's what I've been feeling in the last year, is that effort, you know, put in your effort and you do the process and then let it be.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, but that effort has to be there. And that's, we all work towards it, no matter how young we are
or old.
Yeah. We need that constant effort.
Okay, to the young adults here, three, four of them. Question to you is, how do you see the 1 degree of, what separates, what is that 1 degree of separation? Have you been able to sort of figure it out for yourselves that's holding you back? Or do you think you are operating at 212 degrees? I know, the youth are always the most honest.
That you know that you first of all want to do it and will do it,
and I need to do it. And then what's the backup? You know, is something that faith comes home. You know, as a team, we have to have as well. So I think that's where we might.
Yeah, that we are connected to something so much larger.
Mm-hmm.
And then if we can just catch that vibe and get into that stream of energy, we're propelled from behind. So many things just happen so naturally. That's always been my experience, yeah. True. Yourself?
Probably the 1 degree. It seems like it's just laziness, just overcoming that inert, like inside, you know, either flip on the TV or you turn on radio side and you take, and trying to be better about that. And I just think that the difference for me will finally be to figure out what I am trying to achieve with it. You know, is it a feeling of bliss that I'm trying to get, or is it Swami's grace I'm trying to get, or to realize that I'm God? I mean, I think once you know maybe your end goal, I don't know if that would be the difference that could really push you, or maybe not, or maybe it's a process and you have to just put in your effort and then the end goal will, you will understand it as it comes. Or,
what do you think? Is it a goal-driven effort, or just a process, as she's saying, for you?
I think for me at this point, it's been more process than a goal. But what struck me in that film was where it said you're responsible for your results. I was kind of struggling with that because I feel like the message that I've gotten my whole life is it's not the results that matter. You surrender those to Swami. You're just the puppet. He's pulling the strings. It's all in his hands. And so I think the difference there is, to me, I think it's the yearning for it. And that if you really want something, if you really want to be an instrument in Swami's mission and you really want to get close to him, that's where the effort comes in, that you put that extra effort, and basically it shows him that you're ready for it in a way, and that's what convinces him to open those doors so that extra 1.54 seconds or whatever on your side.
Exactly. So you do have a goal. The goal is, in this case, for Swami to recognize they're trying to please him. Pleasing Swami seems to be a goal, whether we define it as such or not. And I think this is the most noble of goals to have in life, is trying to please God. Because when you do that, it's like it's in a watch. If the seconds hand does its job properly, the minutes hand will work well. And when the minutes hand is working well, the hour hand will work well. So when your original intention is good, your original motivation is pure, all else, all your choices, all your decisions will be fueled by a very positive discretionary energy, and I think you will be doing the right thing. Yourself?
I like the concept of walk the talk. I'd like to raise my level of consciousness to that, come down from duality to reality, and stop all the struggles in life by doing that.
Thank you.
I guess I'm connecting two of your, something that you said earlier about healing the mask. I found that very interesting.
A lot of masks to peel, all of us do, don't we? Yeah. Okay, thanks. And final word, Madhu Didi, on this side?
Well, to me, the 1 degree, yes, it has occurred to me many times. So I really need to always put myself in a position of challenging myself to get that inspiration to work harder.
Yeah.
And I know it works when you really surrender. That's when I really realized it. It's come a few times, but and I feel really happy and so free when I do that. But it's still a challenge and a struggle for me to do that 1 degree sometimes. And I do praise to Swami to help me to surrender everything, basically in every aspect. Because ultimately that is what we are supposed to achieve. And whatever you read, the Swami's literature or the Gita or anything else, the message ultimately boils down to the surrender part. And it has been really doing a lot of brainstorming within myself to put it into practice in my meditations, everything. You know, Swami has repeatedly given the 11-second surrender thing. And you know, I do try it very hard. I've been successful many times. But still, it's the world draws you so much. And sometimes you get caught up, but it's always a nice thing to have these reminders.
Surrender is the one degree.
Karuna, can I ask you a question?
Sure, please do.
On that 211 degrees, it takes so little time to reach 211 degrees. It takes more time to reach that one degree than it takes to reach 211 degrees. Why is that so?
I don't think it takes that much time, but it seems like the last one degree is so impossible. It's like you're trying to climb a summit, and you know what they said when they were climbing the Mount Everest, the last few steps were like the deadliest, because by then they were out of oxygen and the air was so thin and you're also worn out. So it's just a test of your persistence. And the first, maybe the when if you're going mountain climbing ever, you'll realize you're so enthusiastic when you start your trek, and the first several thousand steps are like so fast and rapid, and by the time you get somewhere halfway up the summit, you're already tired. But when you get to the very last step, that the one last degree, that same effort seems like a lot more, but I think it's just a test of persistence and nothing else, because you've really used up all your other resources, and that's when you really have to go in and seek that help from Swami inside. And anybody else has a question? We can all try to find answers together. And you did not watch the video with us, and neither did you, so I think I will spare you the horror right now of a question. And I think that's pretty much what it is all about. And you know, all this new age literature that I'm sure you're all familiar with, and an entire generation that grew up watching The Secret or reading The Secret Behind The Secret by Eckhart Tolle, manifest, attract. What is it all about? What are we seeking to manifest? Now, give it some real thought. Last year at this time, the biggest selling video in Costco and Chapters and Indigo and every bookstore you have in the US was The Secret, because everybody wanted to know how to manifest all the wealth. I'm wondering where all those traders from Wall Street are doing with all the knowledge they got from Secret last year when they look at their accounts today. Is it because everybody was trying to attract a lot of wealth, but somehow Swami says if a car has four tires and you keep applying pressure on one tire extremely, it's going to burst and it's not going to take you anywhere. Looks like the big tire of capitalism has really blown up in the face of the world's leading economies right now. And that's because we were all trying to attract all the possible wealth, and all these interview with people. I used to make $30,000 a year. Then I read The Secret, and in the first 30 months, I made like six-figure income. And ever since, I've holiday in the Bahamas, and you know, I have my condo in Cancun, and I lived this life of the rich and the famous. And where are all those people now? Because Swami says you have to prioritize. As I youth, when we see the advertising world bombard us with visuals of how to define a happy life, a perfect life, a great job on Wall Street, a convertible, a house in the, you know, in the suburbs, a condo in downtown, a life partner straight out of Cosmo magazine or elsewhere. And all these images that you're bombarded with and all these expectations that you just let in without ever using the filter that Swami says he has placed inside us of discrimination, all we do is create frustrations for ourselves and a tremendous amount of unhappiness. But if we try to prioritize and balance everything the way Swami says, that the whole purpose of human life is God realization, but it's not God realization that we have to run to a mountain and sit under a tree. Doing what you're doing, doing it the right way. You can be a student, you can be a householder, you can be a spouse, a parent, a child, a daughter, a son, a brother, a sister, and you do your perform each of your roles correctly, and you're on your path to God realization. You really don't need to go and sit in the Himalayas under a tree to attain that state. And that state is here, it's now, it's within you. And you have the passport to fast track this stage because you're Sai youth. You have the special passes, and these passes enable you to get the grace of God so much faster and so much easier, because right now, 80 decades of extreme hard work, Swami Satya is your best friend. Satya Sai is your best friend, and that Satya is looking for a hero. That Satya is looking for a friend who will take his message forward. The question you have to ask yourself, are you going to be your, yes, I'm interested in Swami, but somewhat complacent self? Or are you willing to take that leap of faith and tell Swami, yes, I'm here for you, I belong to you, and I will do what it takes for me to be a true instrument in your mission? Are you going to be Satya's friend, and are you going to be Satya's hero? That's the question you need to ask. You have a choice. This is a free country. You live in the world's richest democracy. You can seize the moment or you can lose the moment. And I'm very confident you'll all choose wisely because you know better. And that's all I have to say to you today. Thank you, Sairam.
Thank you.